Good morning, Mark. Thanks so much for taking some time to talk with me today.
Hey, thanks for having me. I'm excited about visiting the city of Cortez.
Yeah, December 1st. We're excited to have you down here. That's going to be fun. Hey, I wanted to start off and just talk about your career. You know, you had so much, so many highlights, so many things that you did in the course of playing with the Denver Broncos and with other teams in the NFL. Is there any kind of particular memory or story that you consider to be sort of the highlight of your NFL career?
Well, I think if you ask most Bronco fans in Bronco country, it would have to be the drive of my year. So for me, it's kind of hard to say the highlight of my career was the first year of my career and everything else went downhill, but it was pretty exciting. new to the league, new to Denver, and we had a pretty good season. We were able to make it to the AFC Championship game, and Cleveland had home field advantage, so we were actually in Cleveland for the game. And it was pretty gloomy, cold. It was a typical Cleveland day, and the dog pound back then was in full effect. It was very, very popular and very, very crazy. I remember going to sleep the night before or before going to sleep watching the news, and they were showing how they were giving out dog biscuits to all these people at different pet stores. And I thought, well, that's pretty cool, you know. They're tying that into it. I didn't know that they're going to allow them to bring the dog biscuits into the game and throw them at us.
Right.
So literally, I mean, I wish you could see it. If you have it, I wonder if it's on Google. You probably can Google just about anything. But that entire end zone by the dog pound was covered with dog biscuits and batteries and sandwiches. And I mean, it didn't even seem like it was real, but that was kind of a highlight of my career in that, you know, as the story goes, we started on the 98.5-yard line, 98.5 yards away from the end zone, with a must-need drive to take the game into overtime. And I had a couple of the catches in that series. 3rd and 18, I made a catch, and later on in the series, the final play of the series was a touchdown catch that I made. John Elway, of course, was at that time still kind of an unproven commodity. Everyone expected him to be great, and I think that was his coming out game, and it was definitely a highlight in my career.
Absolutely, I will never forget that. I remember watching that game quite well, cheering you on. You know, along with Vance Johnson and Ricky Natel, you were part of the Broncos wide receivers group known as the Three Amigos. How did you guys come up with that name? What's the story behind that?
And that was Vance's idea, but he puts it on John. He's smart. Better marketing that way, right?
Yeah, right.
It was the Monday night game in 1987. We played the Chicago Bears, who were coming off. They were Super Bowl champions just 2 years previous, and they had a lot of characters on their team. Jim McMahon, Walter Payton, The Fridge.
Sure.
And they were actually beating us and had a chance to put the game away. They were on the 2-yard line. When they hand the ball off to William Refrigerator Perry, and he fumbled the ball, and Mark Haynes picked it up. We drove the length of the field and scored a touchdown. In that particular game, Dan scored a touchdown, Ricky scored a touchdown, and I scored a touchdown. So therein lies the quote from John Elway, or the alleged quote, that we won the game thanks to some help from my three amigos. And never thought it was a big deal. We played another home game, and then we were on the road, I think, for 2 weeks. And I remember coming back to Denver, and we get to the stadium early because we've got to do, you know, a lot of prep before the game. And you usually see people out there, a few people scattered around that are tailgating, and a few people outside the stadium that are scalping tickets. But this particular Sunday was different, because I saw people selling sombreros. And I was like, why in the heck are people it didn't connect with me. Why are people selling sombreros? And I actually went into the stadium. We warmed up, and we usually go in. We warm up. There's a few people inside the stadium, but we go back into the locker room and come back out as a team. And I say we, they call specialists, like receivers and punt returners. But it was so funny that when we came back out, I see all these people in the stands with sombreros and signs saying Three Amigos, and it was just it was awesome. I think it was a lot of fun for the fans. It was definitely a ton of fun for us.
I remember that quite well. It really took off. I remember even one of my friends back in those days had a poster of you three all in your bandoliers and your sombreros, and you guys nice. Adopted that, man.
We definitely embraced the moment. It was great.
Right on. So it's been quite a while since you played football in the NFL. How do you think football has changed fundamentally since the days when you were playing?
Oh, gosh. Aside from the rule changes have totally, I think, changed the game. The NFL is obviously wanting a more exciting game, more high-scoring game. The rule changes with, receivers and can't touch the quarterback and, that's made the game, I think, more exciting and more of a passing league than it was when I played. It was more all the stars leading up to the time that I played were all running backs. You heard of, Del Sayers and Peyton and Emmitt Smith and Barry Sanders. It was always the running backs. Now it's mostly receivers that you're hearing about. But other than that, there's also the fact that with the concussion and CTE issue coming out, the rules have changed a bit to protect players, which I think is awesome. And then finally, salaries have absolutely skyrocketed since I played. So, because I was born just a few years too early. I think that, the fact that guys are getting paid more, I'm just starting to realize has made a big difference, because it's not just that they're getting paid more, it's just that I feel like it gives players, or some certain players are not as motivated. It's not, the job isn't a motivation like it used to be. Hmm. We didn't have guaranteed salaries. So, every day you could possibly lose your job and your salary. Nowadays they have, $30 million contracts where $15 million of it is up front or a signing bonus or guaranteed that we're going to pay this whether you're playing or not. And I think it takes away a little bit from the incentive and this, I think I would like to call it fear that, people have. And we have that. A lot of people have that in their workplace where, especially if you're in sales, if you're not meeting your quota, then, you're fired. Unfortunately, but that's just, the way it goes. Well, I think that's kind of changed a bit too. So there's a lot of things that happened in, 20, I can't believe it's been 25, what are we going on? 30 years, yeah. This is the 30-year anniversary this year of the Three Amigos.
Yeah, right. Awesome. So, let's talk about the Broncos right now. It's kind of looking a little grim for this season. And what are your thoughts on the Broncos season right now?
Grim is a very... unappropriate word. You could probably come up with a lot better words. They're 3-5 and they're facing the Patriots to try to right the ship. I think it could be worse. I don't know if it could be any worse situation, but I don't know. I think as me being that eternal optimist and always see the glass half full, there are some things that would indicate the Broncos actually have a chance this weekend versus the Patriots, but more importantly, to right the season. Fortunately, there's a lot of teams that are hovering right around 500. So I believe 10-6 could actually get you into the playoffs. And once you're in the playoffs, it doesn't matter what happened the previous 16 games. So that's a mindset that they have to take into this weekend, and hopefully they come to the game with a sense of urgency, and hopefully the Patriots are having some jet lag from a long trip out here. And hopefully the air is a little thinner than usual and all of good things happen.
Yeah, they just got to play hungry. That's for sure. Got to play hungry.
There you go.
So you'd mentioned you will be in Cortez here in Southwest Colorado on December 1st. What brings you to Cortez? What are you going to be doing down here?
Well, First National Bank is a sponsor. They sponsored this thing called TEZ, and basically it's a series of people that are coming in to speak, basically in an effort to uplift community spirit and provide some encouragement It's for young and old alike. It's going to be exciting. I'm fired up to be invited, you know, to have a chance to share some of my experience and how I've overcome some adversity at times. I'll be talking a lot about choice and how that affects our life, because we all have different things that come into our life, challenges, that, you know, we get a chance to make a choice. And those choices, you know, generally dictate the destiny and the trajectory of our lives. And I've fortunately made a few good choices in my life that led me to playing in the NFL and being able to give back to charities and to the community, having the ability to speak. And I'm excited about sharing that.
Mark, we're excited to see you down here in Cortez on Friday, December 1st as well. And again, thank you so much for taking some time to talk to me today. It's always fun to talk to one of my sports heroes.
Hey, thank you, my friend. Remember, doors open at 6:15. John told me that if I didn't give you the plug, then he was going to give me the plug. So doors open at 6:15. We'll start at 7 o'clock promptly. And we'll do autographs afterwards, so make sure that you show up early and with some good intentions.
Right on. Thanks again, Mark. It's great talking with you.
All right, buddy. Bye.
That's Mark Jackson. He's the wide receiver in the NFL from 1986 to 1994, including 9 seasons with the Denver Broncos. For KSJD, I'm Tom Yoder.